Let's get into the word, right? I'm grateful. I was there. You saw me in a few pictures. I'm grateful for that experience to be down there with Mark Ottinger and Marie Leshock and, of course, Mark and Donna Browse. Obviously, I was glad to be down there with Candace and then with Lucas and Kirk and all the rest of them from the other church. It was tremendous. I did the leadership training down there in January. It was beautiful to see 70-plus people who were hungry to know, how do I lead the church better? How can I preach better? How can I teach better? How can I administrate better? It was good to be down there to share with them in that, but it was even better to be down there to go into these homes and to minister the gospel to them. And those numbers are great, but the impact is greater. And so please be in prayer for those churches down there. Be in prayer for our teams that are going. And if you can contribute, please do it. I said it earlier, you can go to that QRC, you can go on the website and support them. The pancake breakfast is coming up on September 10th. You can go do the QRC. Kathy Gonzalez is going. Titus Villalobos is going. Melissa Villalobos is going. Mark Ottinger is going back. There's 1, 2, 3. Of course, Mark Browse, Donna. I'm missing somebody. But anyway, these individuals are going back from our team, and then Emmanuel is sending another group of people as well. So let's be in prayer with them that we will have similar, if not better, impact down there. Because God is doing some great things in those areas of Columbia. Now, to you that are here in St. Louis. Psalm 91, if you have your Bibles, let's turn there. And we're going to use the subject today, Where Do You Live? I'm going to read the blurb that Debbie sends out on Friday evening. For those of you all that got it, you've read it already. For those that didn't see it, here it is. It just simply says, we often take several things into consideration when looking for a place to live. Things like location, distance from familiar destinations, security, potential neighbors, cost, and so on are considered valuable contributors to such a big decision. The area we live in could even be an indication of personal preferences, such as racial or cultural affiliations and political allegiances. Where we live says a lot about us. So let's go to Psalm 91. And we will read, beginning at verse number 1, and I'm going to be reading from the NIV version for those of you all that came in with a different version, but it reads very similar. It starts off, it says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Verse 3. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Verse 9, if you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Verse 14 says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I like that. This first came to me when I was in Colombia because it was very hot and the sun was out all the time, even at night. It felt like it anyway. And so they had this thing, the word for shadow or shade is sombre. And so whenever you would see somebody, they would kind of like usher you into the shadow or under the, shade. And they would talk about sombre. Let's go into the sombre. And so we would do that. And I recognized that when I was in the shadow, in that area, that although I was still outside and although it was still hot, it was considerably cooler in the shade. And I was amazed by that. We would just step out of the sun and go into the shade. And if the wind blew, it was like, I mean, there was one time, I was with Donna Bross the first day, and we were in the shade, and it was super hot outside, and the wind blew, and I was like, Lord, I thank you. You are so good right now, you know? And because I could feel that cool breeze coming under that shade, and I was like, wow. And that's when it hit me to talk about this. And so I want to talk about the secret place. I'm going to scoot through because I know time is already far spent. And so if you will allow me, I'm going to talk really fast. I'm going to read a lot. I'm going to read a lot, but I'm going to read really quick. There's a little bit of a demonstration I want to get to at the end. But it was necessary and needful for us to talk about Colombia. So we wanted to kind of spend some significant time talking about that. But if you'll allow me, I'm just going to kind of speed through this. Let me talk about the secret place really quick. The secret place, by most church people, have been defined as prayer. Others say that the secret place is praise and worship. And then there are those that think that the secret place is the Word of God, whether it's preached or taught, or whether it's studied in small groups or Bible study. If you ask me, I think it's D, all of the above. In fact, when we create a healthy balance of prayer and the Word of God and praise and worship, we will then find ourselves in the secret place. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, the secret place's formation, a little bit later in the sermon. But right now, let's get into what we are afforded when we, as we read throughout the psalm. Now, this psalm, when it was written, was undoubtedly written from a soldier's point of view. And it covers a wide range of slightly undefined terrors. And this is done so that readers in the years and the centuries to come, like you and I, would not view this psalm as obsolete, but rather find the essence of its meaning to be very relevant in our lives today. So with that said, let's go to verses 1 and 2. And we're going to talk about the declaration of confidence that the writer makes in God. It talks about the secret place. And in the NIV, it talks about whoever dwells in the shelter. But in the King James Version and the New King James Version, which is where I do a lot of my study from, the New King James Version, it talks about the secret place. So the secret place refers to an intimate place where believers and God connect. So the secret place is where believers and God connect. Now remember what I just said. The secret place is not just prayer. It's not just worship and praise. And it's not just the preached or taught word of God. It is all of it together. So if all of those things make the secret place, and if the secret place is where the believers and God dwell together, that means that the secret place is there when we are engaged in prayer, when we are engaged in the praise and worship, and when we are engaged with the Word of God. Can we all agree on that? Amen? All right, good deal. Because if y'all didn't amen that, I was going to have to go back through that whole thing again, and we don't have that kind of time. All right. So the secret place is an intimate place where the believers and God connect. The term Most High, right, is used for God, and it shows that nothing can overpower him. He's the Most High God. So nothing can get over him. Nothing can get around him. Nothing can get under him. He is the Most High. The shadow of the Almighty is a metaphor for His care and His protection. If you go to the next part on your outline, it says what He will do in verses 3 and 4. It talks about the snare and the fowler, right? He will protect you from the snare of the fowler. It's a reference here that has to do with Satan's plot to endanger the believer's life. Satan's plot to endanger the believer's life. For those of you all that are in here who have acknowledged Jesus as Lord and Savior and you are a believer, right? A born again believer, a baptized believer. For those of you all that are in here like that, Satan is plotting against you. All right? Let me accentuate that a little bit. Isaiah chapter 54, right? Verses 14 through 17. I don't have the time to go back and read it. But verse 14 tells us that surely they will gather together and they will conspire against you. In other words, Satan has people already planning against you. Right? Surely they will gather together and they will plot against you. It says, but I have already protected you. I've already put some things in place. I've already taken care of it. And God assured us, and this is how He assured us. He says, I'm the person who created the person who made the weapon. And I'm the God who created the person who's going to use the weapon. And so then He goes on to say that there is no weapon that is formed against you that will prosper. And God is telling us that if I made the person to make the weapon and I gave them all of the creativity and whatever to make such a weapon, and I made the person who's going to use the weapon, if you belong to me, then no weapon that they form will prosper against you. Does that make sense? That's just like 1 + 1 = 2, right? That's simple math. And so in all of this, we're seeing that in Psalm 91 that He's protecting us from the plans that Satan has to endanger the life of the believer. He goes on to talk about the perilous pestilence, or in here it talks about deadly pestilence, right? And it has to do with diseases, plagues, and pandemics. Anybody know anything about a pandemic? All right. Still here? All right, so we're good. All right, and the last part talks about being under His wing, and it poses similarities to a mother bird's style of protection. You'll notice that mother birds, whenever they want to protect the eggs or their young, they will spread their wings, and they will cover their young, and that is to shield them from the elements, the rain, the wind, and so forth and so on, but it's also to protect them from potential predators that want to come in and to either steal the eggs or to steal the chicks. Right? Verses 5 and 6, the wide range of His protection. Here the writer uses a range of undefined terrors to show God's limitless ability to protect us, which should instill some confidence in us. See, the problem, I shouldn't say the problem, a concern that we have is that when we read Scripture, we read it in such a literal fashion that we talk about, they said, the arrows that flyeth in the noonday. Well, we sit up and say, well, nobody's shooting arrows at us anymore. And so I don't know if that applies to me. Or I don't know if we don't deal with famine like that, not in our country. So I don't know if that applies to me. But in this regard, He uses such a wide range of things because He wants you to understand that it's not just arrows. It's not just whatever. Arrows have become bullets. Okay, I just make sure somebody that registered with somebody, right? And so He's not just talking about specifically certain things. He's just talking about a wide range of terror. Whatever could go wrong, God has already sought to protect you, right? Again, let's keep in mind, those who dwell in the secret place, those that are engaged in prayer, engaged in the Word of God, engaged in praise and worship, along with their brothers and sisters, they find themselves in the secret place and they are protected even from these wide range of issues. Verses 7 through 10 talks about the righteous, how the righteous are exempt. Verse 7, since we are seeing this psalm through the eyes of the soldier, possibly a captain of an army, the writer shows how thousands of the enemy will fall by his sword. And since the right hand is used to symbolize the authority to command the army, then 10,000 will fall by those who you command. Now watch this. So you will be in a fight and 1,000, you will slay 1,000. But the people that you command will go out and they will slay 10,000. But what happens to them will not happen to you. You will be in the fight. You will be in the battle. Candace talked about going down and ministering to those people in their house. But one of the things, she didn't talk about this, and this was not on her agenda, but one of the things that makes us fearful to go into people's houses to talk about that is the spiritual warfare that is going on. And most of us are afraid, not just afraid of being rejected, we are afraid of what they may present to us that we're not aware of or prepared for. But when he tells us that when we go into battle, 1,000 will fall by your side and 10,000 by your right hand, by your ability to command the army, and they go out, 10,000 will fall. But as those fall, it shall not come nigh you. Verse 8. This has more to do with the reference of the messianic kingdom, where you will be saved from the consequences of your sin, but others who decide to remain enemies of God by continuing in their sin will receive their reward, which is hell. And while you are spared from hell, you will witness the reward of the wicked. Verse 9 supports verse 8. It just, verse 8 is only possible to those who reside under the shadow of God and make him their refuge. In verse 10, it reiterates the span of coverage provided because of your connection to God. As we move to the next part on your outline, your security detail allows you to walk or to move freely. In verses 11 through 13, God provides a protection detail, a sort of secret service. I started to do what Jim did last week. You see what I did there? But it didn't work. So But he provides for us a security detail that's like a secret service for those of us who abide under the shadow or in the secret place. And these angels, they watch out for us and they protect us from danger, seen and unseen. My father told a story about a young lady. This was years and years and years ago. A little girl, probably about 11, 12 years old. She's walking in New York through Central Park late at night. Does not sound like the thing to do, but she's doing this. And there were two thieves there. And one thief was over here and said, "You grab her and I'll snatch her purse." And so he was down here. The other thief was up here. And he was waiting on this thief to grab the young lady. He was going to run up and grab her purse. And then they were going to make off with whatever she had. So this young lady, she comes skipping through or whatever, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And she's skipping down through Central Park. And the first thief was like, And she goes on past. She gets to the second thief. And the second thief was like, "What's going on?" So they meet up again. Said, "Man, you were supposed to grab her. And I was going to grab the purse." He said, "Man, did you see that big dude that was walking with her?" And the second thief was like, "What dude are you talking about?" The first thief saw an angel that was walking next to her. And it's like, "I'm not dealing with him. There's some big dude. I don't know what the dude looked like. Maybe he had on a leather jacket with something, some spikes. I don't know. But whatever it was, he was like, "I don't want to get into that." It's not, you can listen to that and be like, "Yeah, that sounds good, but is that real?" Well, Elisha was standing on the mountain with his servant, and here comes the army coming toward them, and it was just the two of them, and Elisha's servant looks at him and said, "How shall we do?" And Elisha said, "Lord, please open his heart, his eyes, so that he can see." And when he got done praying, the servant looked over, and he saw chariots of fire and horses of fire all over the mountainside. And when they saw this great army, that other army just went on past them. And that's the type of thing that God does for us. We may not see everything that happens, but he's got a secret service and they're assigned to us, and they catch those things that we don't see. Whew. I wish I had time, but I know y'all got to get to lunch. As a matter of fact, I got a lunch appointment today. I just thought about that. I'm like, looking at my time. All right. But God gives to us a security detail. Now, here's the funny thing about this quote about the angels will catch you lest you dash your foot or step on a stone or smash your foot against a stone. Satan actually quotes scripture. Remember when Jesus comes out of the wilderness, he had been praying for 40 days. He's getting ready to start his ministry, right? And he's fasting. He's like, Lord, prepare me. Get me ready. What do I need to do? I got to get my mind right for what I got to get for what we're about to do. And he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. He comes out of the wilderness. And who does he run into? Satan. And Satan starts saying, you know, if you bow down to me, you know, I'll give you all this. If you do this and whatever else. And Jesus is like, no, that's not, I can't do that. You know, thou shalt only serve the Lord thy God. And he goes through all of this. And Satan starts quoting scripture, trying to trick us, right? Trying to trick Jesus. And he misquotes even this passage of scripture, thinking that it would entice Jesus to turn his back on his Father and do otherwise. Verses 14 through 16, these are very upfront, in-your-face, self-explanatory type of verses here. This is God himself speaking, right? He goes on to say, because he loves me, and this is God talking, because you love me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect. Let me change it up just a little so to make sense. Because you love me, says the Lord, I will rescue you. I will protect you. Because you acknowledge my name. You call on me and I will answer you. And I will be with you in trouble. And I will deliver you and honor you. And with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. God himself is saying that when you make me your refuge, when you make me your fortress, when you make me your secret place, when you come and you hide under my feathers, under my secret place, then you are afforded all the protections that come along with this, all the benefits that come along with this. But again, remember, the secret place is not some place in the mountainside. It is not some church building. It is when we engage God in prayer. It is when we engage him in the praise and worship. It is when we engage him through the word of God. That is when we find ourselves in the secret place of the Most High God. Now, as I get ready to close out, I'm going to do a little bit of an illustration. Can I get four volunteers real quick? I don't care how old you come. Yeah, come. You ain't got to raise your hand. Just come on. Four volunteers. Can I get four volunteers? One, two, come on. Yeah, Fran got up. Come on, Fran, if you want to. Come on. Come on. Let me get two on this side and the other two on this side. Thank you. Yep. Now, don't fear. There's no water, no slime. Nothing's going to fall on you. It's all good, right? I know they're like, wait a minute. What's about to happen here? There's no trap doors. You're not going to fall through. All right. I'm going to do this a little differently than I did in the first service, all right? But allow me to do this. And if anybody in here thinks that this is superstitious, then you have another issue altogether. Because if you're a believer of God, you should not be superstitious unless you're a baseball player. Now, hold this for me for a second. Now, let me specify this because I don't want you all throwing your Bibles at me. I do not care what political party you belong to. I really don't. I could care less. Belong to whoever you want to. You can be the Tea Party. I don't care. You can be the Coca-Cola Party. It does not matter to me who you represent. This umbrella represents the political parties. Any of them. All of them. Right? In the political parties, most people dwell in the political party because they think that they're going to be saved by the political party. They think that the political party and what they espouse is going to be the thing that's going to change this world. It's going to get us all on track. We're going to all live in harmony and so forth and so on. The problem is that this political party did not make room for that one. So if you don't vote like I do, if you don't do the things I do, if you don't have the same chance that we have, whatever it is, if you don't do that, you cannot come over here. I'm gonna make a statement about that in just a second. I'm 50 this year, and in 50 years, I have heard politician after politician, Republican, Democrat, and other, I have heard them make promises. I've heard the Speaker of the House make promises. I've heard the Senate leader make promises. I've heard both parties say, we're the party of this. We're the party of that. We're the party that can get this done. We're the party that can get that done. Can I say something that's controversial? I can't because I got the microphone, but I mean, so I'm going to say it anyway. But look, I remember Ronald Reagan. And I remember all the president, I'm back to Gerald Ford and so forth. You go all the way back. And I remember because Roe v. Wade came down in 73, right? So abortion has been a thing. And I've seen politician after politician after politician after politician talk about, we're going to do away with abortion. Abortion is wrong and da-da-da-da. And I firmly agree. Abortion is wrong, period. Hands down, right? A life is a life. I have never seen a politician come through, even with a whole House, a whole Senate, all of that. I've never seen them not one time come through on their promise. I use just that one example to show you that everything they promise, they cannot fulfill. And so you can come underneath this umbrella if you want to, but I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican, they can't protect you. They can't provide for you. You don't feel safe. I would dare. No, let me not go there. You don't feel safe. You don't feel content. You don't feel, because if you did, then why are our anxiety numbers up? Why are depression numbers up? Why are suicide numbers up? If this party and the other party, they can't protect us, they cannot do for us what God can do. Now, I'm not here to talk. Let me get something straight. This is the statement I was going to make. I am not an advocate for being apolitical, right? I'm not saying that the church should be apolitical. Believe what you want to believe. Vote for whoever you want to vote for. That's fine. At the end of the day, when you get done, if your brother or your sister in this congregation voted the other way, do not uninvite them to dinner. Amen? I mean, that's a problem. You vote like that? There's no way in the world I'd let you in my house. That's crazy. Just like there is no political affiliation that can provide for you and protect you, there is also no cultural thing that can protect you as well. You want to hold it? That's fine. Help yourself. Gabe is my dude. Gabe and Polly are like most of us, like all of us. Y'all step up a little further so everybody can see you. Y'all too, just a little bit. So Gabe and Polly are like the rest of us. I'm good when I'm around my people, right? I'm good because we get to hear our music. We don't act like I'm the only one. We get to hear our music. We get to eat our foods. We get to do our dance. We get to do, you know, because it's ours, right? And I feel safe with my people, right? I feel safe because they understand me. I feel safe because, you know, they get me. I feel safe because, you know, we got this thing. I'm going to let y'all in on a little secret. Sometimes, and Candace is going to look at me side-eye when I say this, so I already know not to look over there. But black people, sometimes when we go somewhere, And it's the majority of the room is white or other, and we walk in the room, if we see another black person in the vicinity and we make eye contact, we just go. And that's a sign that says, I got you if something goes wrong. I'm just being real with you, right? But I'm sure other races, other people, other cultures, y'all have your own symbols and signs and signals. I just gave y'all one secret. Don't pass that around. But you feel safe when you're around your people. But watch this. It's a problem when your people won't let my people under the tent. He's my cat. Gabe will always be accepting of me. Even if the rest of y'all vote me out, Gabe will always be there for me. Thank you, Gabe. Right, no ma'am. No ma'am, I'm down the center on all that. But anyway, but I appreciate you. Where was I? So most cultures, because we present ourselves in a certain way, we don't make space for other people. We talk all the time, and this is not about race relations and racial reconciliation and whatnot. But we talk about, I want to love my brothers, I want to love my sisters. We talk about, I wish I could go to a church that looked like heaven. We talk about those things, but do we really do the hard work to bring about inclusion in that sense, and to bring about diversity in that sense? Do we allow, the one thing I like about Gabe is because, look, let me share this with you. Gabe and Polly brothers, right? And so our families, my family and their family, we have actually spent holidays together and spent time together, whatever else. And some of the traditional things that they like to do or whatever, they invite us in and do those things and vice versa. That's beautiful because that's the way it's supposed to be. I don't want you to change. I want you to be who you are. Just invite me in so that I can experience some of that sometime. And when I invite you in so that you can eat some greens that are made with ham hocks and some cornbread and some black eyed peas or whatever else, don't look at it funny. Try it. It will change your life. Amen. Right? So, but we don't allow, but this cultural umbrella will not allow for protection. As much as I love my black people and as much as I love them and whatnot, they cannot do for me what God does for me. And so I can't run to and say that I live in my culture and that's the only thing that I want to be. And I can't say that I run to a political party because that's where I want to live and that's where I'm going to pitch my tent and that's where I'm going to place my flag. What needs to happen is, come a little closer. What needs to happen is we have to understand that God has given us a family. And every time we give our life to Christ, every time that we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we become a new stone in the church of Jesus Christ. So the church of Jesus Christ is not this building. It is Pauly and Gabe and Reese and Fran and myself. It is us being linked up together. Grandma, it is us being linked up together, right? And every time somebody acknowledges Jesus as Savior, they become a new living stone in the church. And every time we come together and pray, we find ourselves in the secret place. Every time we come together and we do praise and worship together, we find ourselves in the secret place. And every time we come to engage God through His Word, whether it's preached or taught, we find ourselves in the secret place. And my Bible tells me that as long as I'm in the secret place, that nothing Satan comes up with can harm me. You can come to this building all day long. A tornado will tear it down. But if I stay linked up with these other living stones, a tornado can come and tear my house apart and I will still feel like a whole person. I will still feel protected. I could lose a loved one and the whole church will surround me with prayer and with thanksgiving and fasting and the word, and I will find my strength and my courage and peace will come to my heart and my mind will be set free. And although I lost somebody I love, I will find out that the scripture is right, that we don't weep like those who have no hope. It is the church, and it is how we do life together and do church together. It is when we come together and we pray and worship. And I may sing your songs this Sunday and you sing my song next Sunday and we sing her song the following Sunday. But when we come together and we worship together and we read the scriptures together and we pray together, we find ourselves in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord that He is my refuge and my fortress, and it's in Him that I place my trust. I got one more page to go. No, I'm just playing. I'm going. I actually did have one more page to go, but I'm going to forego that because I think y'all got the message. Thank you all. Y'all are so nice, y'all. Have a seat. Thank you. Appreciate you. Let's give them a hand. The time is far spent, so I'm going to cut across the field. But there are scripture. If you want to write this down, you can. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. I'll give you a chance to get your paper back out because you all were like, I got to get a lunch, so let me fold this up now. right? If you get your paper out, you can write these scriptures down. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, right? When Peter expresses that Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of God, who comes to take away the sins of the world. And Jesus says, thou art right, but flesh and blood didn't tell you that, but my Father in heaven. And it's upon that statement, I'm going to build my church. So the church is not built off of a building and a group of people that believe the same and have the same political affiliation and so forth and so on, have the same color skin and all that. The church is built off of people who have acknowledged that they are full of sin, that they need a Savior, and that Jesus is that Savior. And the moment that they acknowledge that Jesus is the Savior is the moment that they become a living stone in the church of God. And we link up with each other, and that's where we find our safety. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 4 and 6. Write that down. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 4 and 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And then lastly, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 4 or 5. If you did not catch those, you can catch me after service and I'll be glad to give those to you again. But go back and read those scriptures, because they talk about this is how we become the church, and then this is what the church is. We become living stones linked together, and Jesus becomes the chief cornerstone of it all. And when we find ourselves together, praising, worshiping, and praying together, and reading God's word and hearing God's word, here's the thing. The Bible even tells us that God inhabits the praises of Israel. So every time we send a praise up, God comes down in the midst of us. And when God is here, there's nothing that we have to fear. But the more I stay in that state, the more I find my confidence in God and my trust level goes up. So we don't try to get you to come to church to build up numbers. We're not trying to get you to come to Bible study or to small groups so that we can fill up numbers and boast about we got this many groups and this many numbers. No, we don't care about any of that stuff. But we do understand the importance of being here to hear the word of God together with your brothers and sisters. We do understand the importance of coming to prayer service, which, by the way, men, tomorrow night at 6:30 right here in this sanctuary, we'll be praying. We do understand the importance of coming together and praying with each other, and we understand the importance of sitting here and raising our hands and our hearts to God in praise and worship. Why? Because when I do that with other living stones, we then create the church. And when the church is together, remember, watch what he said, where there are two or three gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst. If you are linked up with me in prayer and he's in the midst, I have nothing to fear. And I want to create as many God encounter situations as I possibly can. So I urge people to come to small groups. I urge people to come to prayer service. I urge people to come to Sunday morning praise and worship. Not to hear me preach, but to come here so that we can all be in the same place at the same time, right? In one place with one accord so that the Spirit can move. That's why. When I don't see you, I get concerned. That's why, because when we're not around each other, Satan can pick us off. He told Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. And the reason why I don't want to see my brothers or sisters picked off one by one, you come in and you find your safety under the shadow of the Almighty in the secret place, along with your brothers and sisters who make up the church. I'm tired. Let's pray. No, that's the end of that, but let's pray. Before I pray, though, if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you are not under the shadow of the Almighty, you are not in that secret place, you have not acknowledged that you are a sinner, an enemy of God, separated from God, but you want to know him. You want to know him in the power of his resurrection. You want to know him as Savior. You want to know him as Lord. Today is a great day to do that. And while we have our heads bowed, our eyes closed, if that is you, I want you to raise your hand. If you are here and you want to accept the gift of God in the person of Jesus Christ, then raise your hand now and I'll recognize. Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this day, grateful for this time that we could have with each other, and this, more importantly, this time we could have with you. We're thankful, God, for how you spelled out the wonders and the marvelous things you are doing in Colombia through ordinary people like us. God, how you are using us to spread your gospel, to win people to your kingdom. How you are growing the church of Jesus Christ, and you are doing it in numbers that we cannot fathom. And so, God, we are grateful for that. We are grateful for the impact that it is making on us individually and us as a church. And God, we're grateful for this word that comes today to help us to know and understand the importance of linking up with our brothers and sisters, the importance of prayer and worship, and the importance of the word of God, and how all those things together help us to remain in your safety as we abide under your shadow. And God, we are grateful for all of these brothers and sisters that are here that dedicate themselves to you, that are living their life for you, that are striving to become more like you. And I pray, God, that they faint not, that you would continue to strengthen them and give them the courage they need, God, to continue moving forward. And I pray, God, that you just continue to bless us as we continue, God, to find our trust and our confidence in you. God, we thank you for the hands that were raised to accept you as Lord and Savior. We thank you, God, that you have touched their hearts. We thank you for the preparation that went into preparing their hearts and their minds. We're thankful, God, grateful for them, and grateful, God, that you are doing something in their hearts, even right now. Glad, God, for the beauty that you are portraying in them right now. We're grateful, God. And we just are thankful, God, that you are growing the church of Jesus Christ. And God, you are expanding this ministry, and that you are causing us to become more vibrant worshipers, that you are calling us to be more active in going out and doing and winning people and showcasing who you are to the rest of the world. We're grateful for that. And God, we're thankful for those who have raised their hands today, God, to accept you as Lord and Savior. And God, we will rally around them, God, and we will love on them and speak life into them. And we will show them, God, who you are as we disciple them going forward. And God, as we get ready to end this service, this worship service, and leave this place, we know we cannot escape your presence, nor do we want to. But God, we are grateful because the scriptures told us that you have already dispatched your angels to be our secret service detail, to surround us, to protect us from the things that we are unaware of, and even some of the things we do see. And we pray, God, that they will continue to encamp themselves around us and protect us. And then, God, bless us to come back at the appointed time with no danger to befall us. And we, the living stones of the Church of Jesus Christ, will be mindful to give you praise, honor, and glory both right now and forevermore. And every living stone said, amen. Amen. God bless you.